From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made last week when WXXI News reported concerns of a parent in the Pittsford Central School District. His name is Dr. Jerome Gene Giles, and he contacted WXXI News after he says he was dissatisfied with the district's response to a botched Black History Month project. It was a fifth grade project, and as a parent of color, Dr. Gene Giles wanted to know why posters meant to honor Black inventors had included multiple pictures of white men getting the credit. He wanted to know why no one in the school had noticed the errors for weeks. The district conceded the mistake and said that steps were being taken to make sure it would not happen again. But Dr. Gene Giles was frustrated that the project was not going to be repeated or corrected. He told us if a math lesson was taught incorrectly, wouldn't it be addressed? Why not Black history? This was just one of the sensitive incidents and issues that the Pittsford District is facing regarding race recently. Initially, Superintendent Mike Pirro told WXXI News that he's very concerned about these issues, but it might not be the right time for a public forum on race. But now there are a number of events scheduled this week, and the superintendent stressed that the district is working with an inclusivity committee to address a range of issues, race among them. He told WXXI News that Pittsford takes this matter very seriously and wants everyone to feel comfortable. This hour, we're joined by four graduates of the Pittsford School District sharing their experience. Graduates of color who will share their views on what has happened in the past several weeks, as well as their own experiences when they were students. And the superintendent has taken the time to join us here in studio as well. So let's go ahead and welcome our guest for the hour, Superintendent Mike Pirro from the Pittsford Central School District. Thank you for taking the time to be here in studio.
It's my pleasure, Evan. Thank you.
And also with us in studio from the district, the Director of Student Services is Dr. Patricia Von Brogan. Dr. Von Brogan, thank you for taking the time to be here as well.
Thank you.
All right. Hello to a number of other guests with us. I will say hello to Dr. Stephanie Jeter, a clinical psychologist, a Mendon grad. Dr. Jeter, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Hello to Robin Wilt, who is a member of the Brighton Town Board, also a Mendon grad. Is that right?
That's correct. 1987.
You were saying Mendon grads all around the table today.
Yes, sir.
This is no offense to Sutherland. Just a coincidence. Crystal Wilson is also a Mendon grad. Crystal, hello. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me as well.
And Ray DeGuzman is a recording artist, Mendon grad. Ray, thank you. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you.
I want to start just by doing this here. The superintendent, made some remarks to us. You've seen his remarks in other places. In some sense, the district, I think, has wanted to make sure that they get the full picture out to the public. I know that's why there are some events this week. And so, Mike, I will tell you that the response to some of our reporting, the biggest surprise was two things. Number one, there was surprise among some of our listeners that you're feeling that, for example, what happened at Park Road Elementary was not based at all on having a lack of diversity on staff. I think all the staff, or at least all the teachers in that school, and most of the teachers in your district are white. And that's not at all unique to Pittsford at all, as we know. But I think there was some surprise that you felt that that wouldn't have changed the outcome of this incident. And there was some surprise that Dr. Gene Giles told us that the project wouldn't be corrected or revisited, that if it was a math project, it would have been. In the intervening days, have your views changed on those issues at all? Why don't you grab the mic and why don't you start there, and then you can offer. I know there's a lot you want to say on this. Go ahead.
So thank you. I'd like to just say that over the last few days, there's been absolutely a ton of reflection. There's been a lot of meetings. There's been a lot of conversations, and want to take the opportunity just super quick to let the viewers, the listeners, understand who we are as a district and as a school. And I want everyone to know that we live in and work in an incredibly caring community, a community of people that want to reach out and make everyone else around them better. We have a community that does care about race, and we have a school that does care about race, and we have a school district that absolutely unequivocally will and has called out racism as something that's not acceptable. This incident in particular that happened at Park Road, there's a lot of learning. I think that where I struggled with it was that you try to the best you can make learning situations learning for kids, but also for adults too. And I wanted to make sure that there was follow-up with the teacher to ensure that this project and future projects will be of much higher quality moving forward. That's been done. The recognition that there was an error was important. Working with the students to let them know that there were errors and in the future those errors around those standards will be corrected.
Why not revisit the project?
I think that the the concern with revisiting the project, and there's not a significant concern. So there were 100 posters and 93, I think, were accurate. And the ones that were not accurate were regarding the picture piece of the project. And so what was done incorrectly was finding the names through a Google search and printing them appropriately, and then ensuring that they were appropriate. And so we know without question moving forward that has been acknowledged within the classroom. And my guess, Evan, to be quite honest, is if something like this happened again, we probably would redo it.
Okay. And have you changed your mind at all, or do you still feel like the lack of diversity on staff didn't contribute to no one noticing?
I don't know the answer to that. I know that the lack of diversity on staff is something that we are working hard to improve. Some of the things that that we're doing now, and we're actually interviewing for assistant principals as we speak, two of them, our applicant pool is much more robust as far as diversity is concerned. And interestingly, one of the candidates said that she wanted to apply because the environment she heard in Pittsford was inclusive, and she felt good about that. And the second part is that we've looked at our posting processes differently. So we reach out now to Urban League and Iborough and other places that would target people of color.
The other, among other things raised recently by parents in particular, was an incident that happened, I think, on a track team, but involving a white girl and a young black girl, and using racial epithets, the N-word, et cetera. I gather from your comment, Superintendent Pirro, that you feel that you can't talk about disciplinary matters. And I don't want to speak for you. I think some in the community thought, did you address this strongly enough? So, and I know you can't talk about all of the details, but do you feel like that's been addressed strongly enough?
Yeah, I do. I think that, and I appreciate that question. And I think it's important to know that when any time that there is any sort of racial incident reported, and I think you're probably going to hear about a couple examples today, currently what we do is we investigate immediately. So when this was brought to our attention, the first thing that happened was the coach sat with the team. The second thing was a full investigation was underway. We interviewed several students and staff. When I say several, I'm thinking 16, 17. We made a conclusion, and then we provide the necessary consequences. And those could range to this is unfounded, to calling the police, and other things in between.
Okay, and you can't talk about, obviously, for what happened.
Part of my worry whenever there's discipline involved is having a sense of dignity for everyone. Talking about this, I worry a little bit about the impact it has on all the kids and on both sides of this, the allegations and the person that it was allegedly said to. So we try our best to do a restorative piece, and then in addition, decide on the severity for any additional consequences.
I have one more question for the superintendent, and then we're going to kind of turn it over to the rest of the panel here. The concern that you also raised with me was in the Park Road incident. You know, you said you didn't want teachers to be concerned that they would have to be defensive or that they could get shamed if they had good intentions on a project. And you felt like at least with the Black Inventors Project, it was good intentions. And that kind of distinction, were the intentions good or were the results bad, is at the core of a lot of debates about race. Is there something that reflects a kind of, you know, frankly, that some have called a white fragility there, saying, you know, we're more concerned about the teachers and if they're going to be shamed if they get it wrong, as opposed to making sure we get it right?
I'm confident that we are going to get it right moving forward. I think about the change process, and this year, much of our work has been around changing minds and changing hearts, and understanding our role as educators around so many different topics, including race and other real sensitive and important topics. and how it's critical for us all to truly believe that the 5,700 students that walk through our doors are treated with dignity and respect and care and love every single day. And our duty is to really believe it and to live it and to model it and to breathe it and to love the heck out of our kids. And when an error is made, I think people need to feel that it's in a supportive environment where it can be addressed and learned from and moved on and not repeated. And so it became a concern that if this was public, which was the concern originally, that it could impede some of the progress that I felt that we were making as a district. Now, I can also say that going through this experience the last couple of weeks in the district, we're going to get better. We're going to get better in all aspects. And I'm looking at the four of you, and I know Ray personally professionally from him being in the buildings. My heart breaks right now thinking about the things or experiences that have happened, not only in Pittsford but nationally, and so we're finally here. We're finally having a conversation, and we're the group that's going to make change. And not only that, but because, and Evan, maybe I need to change my mind about something I shared with you. Maybe it is good that this is on air, because it gives us an opportunity now to walk the walk and be a model district for a lot of things, a model district for how do we communicate during crisis or when there's pain. How do we bring people together to have conversations and learn how to move things forward instead of casting blame? Our job right now, one of our biggest jobs, is to take the racism or the racist acts and eliminate them, period. And it's going to take a lot of help and a lot of work and a lot of support. Our community is ready to do that. And our staff, our teachers, our administrators, our Board of Education are all over it. And so we have the hearts and the minds and the willingness and commitment to do the work.
Let's go around the table. And I want to kind of just listen to our guests who are Pittsford Mendon graduates, all graduates of the district. Robin Wilt, I'll start with you. And if you want to share either your experiences having grown up and been a student in the Pittsford School District, and perhaps some of what you've seen in the last couple of weeks.
Certainly, Evan. And this is really difficult to talk about. And it's impactful for me that it's difficult to talk about over 40 years later. And so that's why I think it's so important that we address these issues and we get it right. Because the trauma of these experiences live in these students for decades to come. And it impacts their life choices, and it impacts their ability to participate fully in the educational environment that they are entitled to. So I was first called the N-word within Pittsburgh Central School District. I was 8 years old. I was a third grader at Barker Road Elementary School. At the time, Barker Road was both a junior high and elementary school. And I had visited the restroom, and I was confronted by three junior high school students as I was leaving the restroom. And I was harassed. I was called the N-word. I was quite traumatized by the experience. And, it was my first year in the district. It was within months of starting school within Pittsburgh Central School District. And the people who perpetrated that racist act were never held to account. They were never identified. There was never much attempt to identify them. And as a result of the incident, my behaviors had to change. I could no longer use that restroom that was so close to the junior high side of the school. Mm-hmm. But really, there was no impact for the people who were at fault in the incident. And so it concerns me 40 years later when we have similar incidents where students are confronted and students are being called the N-word, and there seems to be a lack of accountability, there seems to be a lack of disciplinary response. And I know that we can't talk about the individual disciplinary responses in these cases, but I think part of the problem is that we're focusing on individual responses and we're not focusing on the climate within the district. These incidents don't come out of nowhere. They are the result of a climate that is unwelcoming or hostile to certain people. And I think that without that acknowledgement that we have to address the institutional side, I noticed for Superintendent Pirro, it was even hard for him to say racism. And if it's hard for us to even say the word racism, how are we going to address racist acts within our school district? How are we going to address institutional racism? So that would be my...
Okay. Superintendent Pirro, do you want to respond to any of what you heard there?
First, thank you for sharing that story.
You're welcome.
I'm sorry that happened. I do believe that part of the concern is when an N-word is used towards someone of color. The other part that's difficult is when it's not reported. And that it can be happening without anyone knowing. And so we need to create a climate where our students feel that they have a trusted adult somewhere in the building that they can go to and report it. When it is reported, it's investigated and dealt with in a very significant manner right now. But I think that we need to hear when it's happening all the time, without exception, which means we have to do some things internally to make our students feel comfortable enough and feeling worthy enough to share that. Thank you.
What do you think you need to do?
We are currently on phase two of something that we're hoping will be helpful. It's called the DOT exercise, where every single building we've had students, all of their names on the walls, and we've had teachers come over and put dots next to the students' names that they feel they have a connection to, or students that they feel that they know a lot about. And the students without dots on them are the students that we need to spend a little bit more time connecting with. And this year we're doing the second part of that, which is the students identifying who the trusted adult is. And if there are students that don't have any dots or that they can't identify any teachers, then we need to form a different type of relationship.
Did you see any disparity among white students and students of color in terms of the teachers and who they felt connected to? You want to take it, Dr. Von Bruggen? Go ahead.
Thank you. I just wanted to add a couple of comments, if I may. And first of all, I want to echo what Mike said. Robin, thank you for sharing that. And it is heartbreaking to hear and think that our students carry that with them for that length of time, and I'll say that in advance, excuse me, to all of you here, because it's troubling, and we want to make sure that we move forward so that we can try to prevent that. But I also want to assure you when it does happen that we do swiftly take action. The relationship mapping piece is really important because when you have positive relationships with an adult you can trust, we're hopeful that any student can come forward to share what's happening. And then in the reverse, if teachers know a story, if the teachers know your story as a student, that they will be able to have a relationship with you so that you are comfortable to share. It's a very important protective factor for all kids. We did not notice
a disparity.
Disparities. We found a small, I don't have the data with me, but there were small numbers of students whom the teachers did not know, and then we put plans in place to say, if we have a student that nobody went right up there and said, I know this student, I know this story, I could talk to this student about this story, then we identified ways to bring a relationship to bear that everybody had someone that they could trust and go to. And as we complete this year the opposite direction, we ask kids who they feel they can go to have a conversation, we'll do the very same thing.
Can I turn to Dr. Stephanie Jeter, who is a clinical psychologist, a Mendon grad, and the same kind of thing that we asked Robin to do. If you want to share some of your experiences and then maybe some of your thoughts about what you're seeing now in the district, Dr. Jeter.
So I am grateful that we're having this conversation because this has been happening, I know, in my experience and the students that I graduated with for the past 30 years. And when this story came out, people from all over the country that have graduated from Mendon or from Pittsford schools, if you saw their responses, the long-lasting impact that these scenarios have on kids and into adulthood is, Robin said, it's trauma. And I think we don't recognize that when we're thinking about, okay, we'll rectify this in third grade, or, you know, we address that situation, but it has changed how people function. It changes their trust. It becomes part of your core beliefs. So how do you see yourself and how do you see the world around you? And that's true not only for the person of color, but it's also true for the white students who have learned that I don't have to change my behavior because the consequences aren't there or it doesn't impact me. So everybody's core beliefs are being are developed during this time. And I can say for me personally, I mentioned previously that some of this started for me in other school districts, but it changed how I even interacted when I got to Pittsford schools, because I was already kind of, my core belief was that I wasn't likable because all the kids in the school district didn't speak to me because I was the only black kid in the school. And so when I went to school and I looked around and I was the only black kid in the class, I'm not saying anything because I'm not going to allow you to reject me again. Then when I get to school and those things happen, or we do try to address it, and if those things weren't responded to, there was a situation where in the Commons at Mendon at Christmas time, there's a big Christmas tree that's put up. And there was a, there's several Santa Claus, people put different decorations on it. There was a Santa Claus there that was made out of black construction paper. And there was one that was made out of brown construction paper. The one with black construction paper had to be drawn on with chalk. And it had, you know, stereotypically large features, lips, nose, eyes. And we took them both down and took them to administration and said, you know, look at these two pictures. And they said, oh, nobody meant anything by that. It doesn't matter. They didn't intend anything. Well, for us, perception is reality. Mm-hmm. And the perception of a black Santa Claus being what they represent as the African-American students in the school was our reality. That's how they were treating us, and that did matter, and it was not addressed. And when those things happen and we're not addressing what the kids that are really the victims of that are saying is occurring for them, we're not meeting the need of the kids. And, you know, I'm a psychologist. I'm seeing this literally every week in my school, in my class sessions, that someone in Monroe County at various school districts is having a racial issue. We can't let them have 30 years worth of pain like we've had. We have to address it. And I do think that this is an opportunity for Pittsford. It's an opportunity for Pittsford to make the decision to be the leaders in this, because it's not just Pittsford School District. Mm-hmm. It is multiple other school districts in the area. And so I think that you see that just the four of us here, but I can tell you, I have gotten calls from people all over the country saying, I'll come back. What do I need to do to help? So you have an opportunity to have people that have moved on and are accomplished, but still are willing to say, I don't want this to happen to anybody else, that will come back and assist. So we can utilize this and work together, and I think that's really important.
Dr. Jeter, does anything stand out to you that you think the district can do right now that maybe you're either concerned that they're not doing or that you would suggest to them?
One of my concerns is that from some of the information that I read, it didn't sound like people are being validated for what their experiences are. So whether, you know, there's a reason for it, or whether that, you know, it can be explained away, or that person's experience in that moment was hurtful to them, and that needs to be validated. And then when some of the responses seem to be, well, we want to include everybody, and the responses then talk about being inclusive, but don't talk specifically about the fact that race was an issue. And when you're not part of the marginalized population, when you don't address it, you don't have to include the people that you don't understand their experience. And so when students are hearing that, it's like, yeah, I include everybody. But they're not recognizing the people that really are feeling excluded. When I was in that class by myself, nobody speaking to me, the other classmates thought, I am including everybody, because they didn't have a reason to think that my experience mattered to them. They didn't connect to it. And so how do we change the climate with the kids as well as with the staff? They are who these kids eat lunch with. They're who they go to recess with. They're who they're supposed to have play dates to go to birthday parties. And kids are not experiencing the social aspect of the academic world because people aren't speaking to them, and nobody is recognizing that, or even if they are speaking to them, that they're not really being included in really a full way into that that after-school experience or even in clubs and that type of thing. So, and the other thing is there are resources. There are people that will come in to speak to both the students, the staff, families that really, that are experts in the area that can really assist. And I think to reach out to some of the people in the community that are willing to do that.
Okay, Dr. Jeter, thank you. Superintendent Pira, if you want to respond to some of what you heard there.
Thank you. And I want to apologize for what you experienced as well. I think that part of when you're in a crisis, think about what needs to be done. You have to think in terms of short term and long term. So, and I appreciate your suggestions. And in the short term right now, we absolutely are making good on our word to be committed to improvement. So we have contacted on our own the State Ed Department. We're asking them to come in and look at how we are working our reporting system, the whole DASA. We're going to ask them to look at our culture and climate. We're sending surveys out to our kids and our families to let us know anecdotally how they're feeling and have they been impacted in any way. The forum is actually open to all Pittsford residents and Pittsford school employees and anyone related to Pittsford is able to come Thursday at 6:30. And that's an opportunity, certainly, to begin that conversation in a real proactive way, so that we can begin that movement forward.
6:30 at Calkins Road Middle School?
Thank you. 6:30 to 8:30. And we are excited to begin having the conversation around what people are feeling and seeing so that we can look at what we need to be doing. And the other thing I would share with you, when I was at Sutherland the other day, I was walking down the hall and I asked the girl how she was feeling with all of this. And she said, "I'm doing okay." And I said, and then her next thing is, "What are you going to do about it?" And I said, "Well, what do you think I should do about it?" And she said, "I really think that it needs to start with a stronger policy around not only use of the N-word, but use of any words that are slur words that impact LGBTQ community or special education community." So next week I will be working with a student advisory committee to begin formulating an anti-slur policy, which is something, again, that's immediate. And it's something that sends a message that use of this language is unacceptable. When something comes out of your mouth to make people feel the way that you do right now, unacceptable, not going to happen. And there's a real good opportunity to be able to bring our community together by having them part of that equation and by having them understand the values of our school district. There's no room at all for people to leave with trauma. They should be going there and enjoying every single day. They should be wanting to come to school. And it's our job to make sure that we have an environment for 5,700 kids to come in and want to come to school. And it's going to take targeted areas of improvement in a lot of different places, but we're going to be the model of it. And I may take you up on it and others for wanting to be part of the solution. And I'm sorry for taking up so much time, but I want to thank you for being part of the solution, because it's real easy to cast blame. It's real easy to raise your voice. And I think that what we're lacking is an ability nationwide to be able to talk and to not cast blame or throw stones. We're in a situation where it is what it is right now. And working together, we can make significant strides, and I look forward to it.
All right, let me turn to Crystal Wilson, who is also a graduate of Mendon. And why don't you just tell us about your experiences and thoughts on what
you've
seen.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Again, thank you for the opportunity. I had a chance to talk about my experience back in January for the first time ever Martin Luther King Week recognition. And as I sat there that night, I'm like, wow, this year will be 30 years. I hate to say that, that I graduated from Pittsford Mendon High School.
I didn't ask.
Yeah, you didn't. But to have not had a chance to talk about it, it brought up a lot of emotions, as Robin said, because you go through whatever your experience is, and I just never had a chance to talk about it. Now we talk about it, you know, we'll run into each other and hey, remember when? And we can, in some instances, we can laugh about it now. But going through it, it wasn't funny. So I was in the urban suburban program, and I went to Pittsford schools from first to 12th grade. So I had the opportunity for a long time to ride the bus. One of the things that I'll say as far as where I lived in the Culver Road, Harvard Street, Culver Road area. So I was fortunate enough. I didn't have to get up as early as other students. You had students getting up at 4 o'clock, 4:30 in the morning to get to Pittsford schools. So I had the opportunity, or at least where I was, I didn't have to get up as early. So when you think about all of that, I'm not coming to school and getting them at 4 o'clock or 4:30 in the morning because I'm being forced to. I'm coming because I want to, and I see this as a great opportunity. So when I come, I want to be treated just like everybody else. I want an education just like everyone else. My parents want the same thing your parents want for you. So from first to 12th, as I said, I graduated from Pittsford Mendon, went to Barker Road Elementary, went to the middle school, went to the high school. One of the things that we saw once we got to high school, all of the things that have been mentioned before, but what I found and what we found was it was education on both sides. A lot of times you hear about urban, suburban, and the first thing you hear is, we don't want those city kids, which was what we were referenced as, that we don't want the city kids out here. So when, if you don't have any interaction and there's no diversity in your place of worship, in your place of unemployment, in your social communities, at your weddings, at your parties, your backyard parties, cookouts, if you don't have any diversity and the only in your circle and the only time you see someone of color is on TV or media and the message is crime or the message is drugs, now when you see me, this is what you think about and all you're thinking is the city. Whereas that's not everyone's truth. The issues that are in the city are the same as in the suburbs. We had students that drug-related, anything, suicide, the same type of issues. But then now I'm marked because you see the color of my skin and you think, here comes this city kid. And then sitting in classrooms when you are, yes, the only African-American or black child in the classroom, and, oh, city kids over the PA system, city kids, your bus is here. City kids, we need all city kids to come down to the office, or we need all city kids. And then now I'm already earmarked, and I'm already, you know, out there on an island by myself, and all I want to do is just come in and get an education just like everyone else and make friends. So when I think about my experiences, yes, there are things that you think about trauma and you think about, wow, 30 years later, we're still having this conversation. Yes, we're having it. It needs to happen. But my heart broke when I started hearing about everything that was going on, and especially when I read the letter of the student, of her experience. And her letter was my letter. I could have written that 30 years ago. And you think about, wow, we're still here. And we've come a long way, but there's still so much more to do. What I take away from this is, with race relations in the country, race relations in Pittsford, it's not just Pittsford schools, as we've all heard. Mm-hmm. It's every community. And the one thing that I take away and I just keep thinking about is, as simple as it sounds, treat others how you want to be treated. Golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. How do you want someone to talk to you? How do you want to be treated? And you have to think about those things. So as I'm seeing the meetings that are coming up, I think a lot of that, it starts in the home. And you have to let your kids know that it is not acceptable for you to do that because I didn't teach you like that. And maybe it is okay in some homes. And what I do know to be true is, you will have these movements, you will have change. And I think you also have to realize the reality of that is, you will not have everyone that wants to change.
You have resistance?
You will have resistance because now you're forcing it on me, as opposed to, yes, I see Stephanie and she's my friend and I see her in class. I've built relationships that we still have, maintained relationships with some of my friends from Pittsford that we still keep in touch with. And I think the other part to the urban suburban message is the message of, oh, here come these city kids. It also has to be interchangeable. We were able to teach a lot where we were like, they were surprised that we lived in houses. Not everyone's on drugs. Not everyone is living in apartments. It was a lot of education that we had to take on to educate our teachers and the other students to say, this is not everyone.
It sounds like when you interacted with Pittsford students, and again, this is a generation ago now, that you were frequently encountering the students who must never have talked to a person of color.
Absolutely. And the only thing that they saw was on TV. Yeah. So then you get the questions, oh, where do you live? You live in a house? So then you start building those relationships. And just like I was invited over to stayovers and parties, we did that. My parents were part of PTSA as much as they could, and we invited students over and friends over. We kept those relationships as well. And I'll just end with this. Through all of that, I have to say that if I had the opportunity, I would do it all over again. And I say that because, unfortunately, it prepares you for the real world. That you are in IT, sometimes there's situations growing up, you are the only person of color, or you are the only female, or what happens when you encounter this out in the real world, and it was preparation.
So what's on your list, if you give the superintendent one item that you want to start with that you can think can tangibly change, where do you start?
As much as you can, and I don't know how this happens, how do you get that message in the homes? You like I said, you are going to have resistance. And then what happens is if you're teaching it in school and the child goes home and the parents said, you don't have to do that. That's where, and I don't know how that happens, but that message has to go to the student, has to go home. What do you do in the homes, especially if the student is now worried about, well, when I go to school, I have to act this way. When I go home, I'm told that it's okay. So now you've got to somehow get that message. I understand the school part, but it's that home. It's the house. What's going on? What's being taught there?
Okay. Superintendent Pira, what do you think?
That was remarkable. Thank you for sharing. And again, I am sorry for what you went through. And thank you for articulating it the way that you did. Change is difficult, right? We're all aware of that. And that's why it has taken a while for us to change hearts and minds. And really, prior to these last two incidents, I thought we were pretty close. So I have a little bit more learning to do as well, because I did not see things coming across my desk around racism. And so we need to create an environment again where kids can report and need to report. And the parents piece, I don't think that this type of change is as hard as we think, because what you just shared with this group is that we need to treat each other the way we want to be treated. That's a golden rule. That I believe significantly is Pittsford. That's our community. That's our schools. Our teachers are dying to do everything that they can to help our kids. They're amazing. Our parents are amazing. Our community's amazing. So now let's roll up our sleeves and do it.
All right. I'm going to turn to Ray DeGuzman, who is a recording artist and a Mendon grad. Ray, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I think this is an incredible conversation to have. It would be cynical for me to say that it's happening a bit too late, because again, if there ever was a time, it has to be now. And the changes need to be for now as well, not something we work towards. All of us are Mendon graduates, but actually I started off at Sutherland High School. I remember C.J. Lee was a local basketball star, and I really wanted to play basketball for Sutherland. All my best friends were there. And actually, I was 14 years old. It was after basketball practice, and a few of the hockey kids jumped me in the locker room, and they beat me, and they called me monkey, and they called me the N-word. And when I reported the incident, it was treated by the principal at the time and others there as something that needed to be mediated between boys. My parents, to their credit, were very proactive as far as getting, you know, law enforcement involved, et cetera. And to some people, they may think, okay, well, you were beaten, but, you know, my face didn't look like Emmett Till, so, you know, how come your parents needed to go to the cops? And I think that underlines the severity of the situation and what little faith they had in administration and as far as taking care of the incident and treating it with the weight that it deserved. Ultimately, I was not by my choice. I was switched over to Mendon. Grateful to graduate through Mendon, still lifelong friends with people from both schools. Overall, I'm incredibly privileged to have grown up in the Pittsford School District. And I think when I tell people this story, they're often shocked. And like the events of the past week, people are often very shocked. But I'll tell you who isn't shocked. The members of color in the community, they're not shocked. This is a problem that I think we need to acknowledge on a deeper level, like what Robin was acknowledging, what we're all acknowledging, that it's institutional. I think that it's an incredible revelation, Superintendent Pirro, that you recognize that, you know, before you thought you were close, because I think that the actual situation is that we aren't close, and it's a sobering perspective to take, one where we have to understand that this is truly an epidemic, one that lives in the marrow of the students that graduate from these schools here at Pittsford and in the area. As I was saying, often students of color are the last ones to know that they're different, but it's through these microaggressions. Obviously, that major incident was in many ways life-defining for me in positive ways and obviously very negative ways. But these microaggressions from the time we grow up, students of color coming up in our schools, your children in pre-K, kindergarten, they're going home. And some of us, I mean, I'm ashamed to admit it, but going through what we're going through, understanding that the students aren't changing, the administration isn't changing, and this is over the course of 30 years. I graduated 11 years ago in class of 2007, and so I'm going home. I'm wondering how I can change. I'm 6, 7 years old, waking up almost, again, illogically, wishing that I woke up white, wishing that I woke up different, that I spoke perhaps a bit different, altering my speech patterns, etc. So the people that are changing and who have been chameleons for 40, 50 years in our district are the students of color. And I think that this conversation is so important. And I think that for the most part, people are so well-intentioned. But I think the warning here is that well-intentioned people don't always resort to doesn't always result in well-intentioned actions. And so I think, how can we improve by moving forward? I think that it has to be something from the top down. I think, as we've seen in other situations in our community with the whiterochester.org thing, the whitenewyork.org thing, you saw Pitts Forward come out of that. You saw the conversation moving forward. And I think for the most part, my generation, my little brother, who's 16 now, obviously you can understand when I was 14, I was going home to my little baby brother, honestly afraid of the situations, really thinking about or understanding that he will have to go through the same things that I went through, and understanding that it is a long-lasting trauma. So now that I'm in my, you know, I'm 30 years old now, understanding how much that has shaped me, I want to free him from as many of those shackles as I can, and I can only do that by educating him on what will, not maybe, what will happen, because it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And I think as a district, we need to fully articulate how, when it happens, things are dealt with. Now, I do believe that children all the way through our schools should be protected. They should be given the opportunity to learn. But as far as our administration, as far as our teachers, there needs to be more accountability. And I think that overall, when you speak of students reporting it, because again, we need to understand that a lot of these incidents go unreported, a majority, I would say. So just like what you're talking about, creating a safer environment where students feel that they're valued enough that they can report these things. But I think that this conversation full of inconvenient truths needs to only be amplified, not just this last week, next week, not just the 30 days in and around Martin Luther King celebrations, where we're really given an anemic version of events. We need to have this conversation throughout the year.
All right. I know that Dr. Von Brogan wants to respond to some of that. She's the Pittsford's Director of Student Services. Go ahead.
Thank you. And Ray, again, it saddens me that happened to you. I've known Ray for many years. As a matter of fact, our kids were in school together. So I do recognize that it's a powerful, we have a powerful moment right now to make a change. And I agree with you. It needs to be an everyday change. And some of the ways that we can support that as a district have changed a little bit since all of you have been in the district. I think of the Rock to Change movement, which is across our community. You may be familiar with that, and that's where high school students come together twice a year and have summits on race. Our students participate, and students from just about every other school district in our greater area come together. And I think from a systems perspective, that helps us to give a greater voice to the youth in our schools. And they are not shy about sharing with us what they think needs to happen going forward. So as a matter of fact, we'll be responsible for hosting the next summit in November. And it's an important time for us to be able to craft that conversation with our greater community. And our students will play a major role in developing what will happen that day. So it's really important that voice is heard. And I want to go back, too, to something that Crystal said. And Ray, this is the activities that your brother is involved in. We partner with a school in Rochester, the Rock Achieve Charter School. And we have partners between Pittsford and Rock Achieve. And our premises, we live 9 miles away from each other, and we live in different worlds. And how can we help everybody understand each other, get to know each other, and build relationships? We do exchange days where our students go to that school for a day and follow their partner. Our partners come to our schools and follow their partner around, and they maintain great friendships. It's been wonderful to see blossom, and we will continue that because the feedback from the kids involved in that is that it is a life-changing experience, a positive life-changing experience, and that's what we want more of.
All right. I've got to try to get as much of listener feedback in the last 4 minutes or so, so let me try to hit these as quickly as I can. Kwasi called in to ask, did Pittsford residents vote for an urban-suburban program to be renewed? Is that a yes or no? I don't know where that stands. That's from a listener named Kwasi. Does Pittsford vote on that, Superintendent Perry?
We do not.
Okay.
I think that every year it's just in. It becomes part of our budget
urban,
and who we are.
Urban suburban stays.
So, yes.
Okay.
Yep.
A separate parent emailed.
And we've been involved for 50 years this year.
Okay. A separate parent emailed to say that her understanding was the district does not allow students or teachers to wear Black Lives Matter shirts, and was told that the district is not ready for that. Is that true or not true, Superintendent Perry?
Not sure what she's referencing.
Are teachers allowed to wear Black Lives Matter shirts?
Yeah, we don't get into freedom of speech, and unless you're wearing something that is, you know, significantly impactful to the learning environment, then we're not making people change shirts.
Okay, teachers, students as well. Okay, Rick emailed and wanted to share some thoughts and said that first of all he's grateful for the panel. And was appreciating this conversation, and said that felt like that in this case, looking at the Park Road Elementary project, said that the response from the district reminds me of the importance assigned to protecting white teachers at the expense of Black and Hispanic students. It puts adult interests ahead of student needs. The project should be corrected and repeated. What would you say to Rick in that case, Superintendent Bureau?
I would say thank you, and I think that we have a lot more of reflecting and correcting to do moving forward.
Okay. Do any of the graduates of Mendon who are here, do you feel like if there is more diversity on the teaching staffs, that an incident like that perhaps would not have happened? Robin?
Absolutely. I think the more that we include a variety of perspectives in the process, the better the process is. And so by having that uniformity of process, you get uniformity of results.
Yeah, Krista, you want to jump in there too? Yeah.
I would agree as well. Again, from 1st to 12th grade, there was only one black teacher, and that was 10th or 11th grade English teacher. Out of all those years, all those teachers, just one. So as I hear the pool is being opened on who the search is trying to diversify the search, I think the important part to that also is once you get those professionals in, how do you retain them? Because if the environment is not conducive for them to stay, it's not worth staying, because it's enough to teach, but then now I have to deal with all these other things that are going on. So definitely diversity would help.
And down to our last minute, I'll just remind our listeners, tomorrow night, 6:30 p.m. at Calkins Road Middle School, there is the district event in partnership with the town of Pittsford. And Superintendent Pirro, on that subject, your district is one of so many that are grappling with a lack of diversity in teaching staff. It's hardly unique to Pittsford. We did an investigation 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. Four separate districts in this county had zero African-American teachers. Pittsford at the time had one. Brighton had one. I mean, this is not unique to Pittsford. 481 teachers 3 years ago, 478 white, one African-American. So I know it's not easy, but in the last 30 seconds, do you think that will change anytime soon, and do you want to see that change?
We do want to see a change. We're hoping to partner with groups like NYSET, who are already doing great work, to try to promote a diverse candidate pool for all of us. And yes, indeed, it's valued. It's the more diverse that we can be, the more strengths we have to build off of within our communities.
Thank you for clearing your schedule and being here. Superintendent Mike Pirro, spending the hour with us alongside, from the district, Dr. Patricia Von Brogan, the Director of Student Services. Thanks to both of you for
being
here.
Thank you. Mike.
And to the students, I would say the students, you're all students, you're graduates now. The graduates of Mendon sharing their experiences, Ray DeGuzman, Robin Wilt, Crystal Wilson, Dr. Stephanie Jeter, thanks to all of you for helping lead this conversation. And there's as to Ray and everyone else who made this point, this is one step in a long process, and we hope we can continue the conversation here and elsewhere. Thank you.
Thanks for having
Thank
us.
You. Thank you.
Our thanks to Don McDonald, the engineer, and our thanks to Rob Braden, Rob's the engineer. Don's just a volunteer, and he's great. And Megan Mack is the producer. I'm Evan Dawson. Have a nice afternoon. Talk to you tomorrow on Member Supported Public Radio.